couple of scriptures I want you to remember just before we start opening up the Word of God. One is from Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, we'll read it, eh? Numbers 23, verse 19. It says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? And has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I've received commandment to bless, and he is blessed, and I cannot reverse it. This is a man who's trying to curse Israel. But this statement is made here, and it's a statement that's a very strong statement, so don't forget it, okay? And the other one is Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because if you're from Morley, I apologise. I gave this talk a couple of weeks ago, but I thought I'd give it today. I'm going to talk to you about the black dog. Okay, now, not a lot of people talk about the black dog as depression. And I'm not going to talk about natural depression. I'm going to talk to you about spiritual depression. Because it does happen. What happens is that things happen in our lives and we can get down in the dumps. And we can get down in the dumps physically, but we can get down in the dumps spiritually. And it happens to each and every one of us. It does happen one time or another. We can be rejoicing and praising the Lord, and then something will come and almost crush you. But the thing is that God doesn't lie about his promises to you and to me and our times of trouble and strife. And he says, I'll never, ever, ever leave you, no matter how bad you feel inwardly. God says, I've got you. Okay, I'm going to bring you through this. I'm going to give you something that's going to raise you up eventually. Proverbs chapter 17, just to show that it does happen. There is a scripture here that talks about it. And it says here, Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Okay? So we can actually have a situation in our lives where, for whatever reason, we begin to question or doubt the word of God in our lives and what it means to us. And, you know, Jesus said, I'm with you always. And so my point here is when we get into these types of situations spiritually, is that what God wants us to do and encourage us to do is to go back to the Word of God. We need to go back where the medicine is. Okay? If we have depression naturally, the doctors give you all sorts of medication to calm you down and slow you down and put you in a dream world practically. But God says, oh, my Word will comfort you. My spirit is in you to open up the promise about how I can comfort you. Jesus promised to give us peace that passes all understanding. But sometimes we get into a situation where this happens. So where do we go for that medicine? Okay, Psalm 138, let's go there. Psalm 138. I will praise thee, verse 1, with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing praise unto you. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Okay, now the problem is when we get into depression spiritually, we stop looking at the word of God. Okay. Now, our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need to be encouraged continually with the word. We need to understand, here I am with this problem in my life. What do I do about it? How do I get around this situation? You know, one of the things that we're a little bit frightened about doing is confessing to one another that I have a problem spiritually. We're frightened of it. Because sometimes we feel that maybe we're going to be a little bit criticised about it. Why are you like that? How come you like that? Don't you know? But, you know, we should really be comfortable in saying to one another, I have a problem here. I need something that, you know, like people say to me, how are you? Most of you know that my wife passed away in July. How are you? Yeah, I'm good. Okay, I'm good. You know, one day at a time. But inwardly, I could be grieving things and and been low in the spirit and things like that. And so I'm not quite being really honest with you, am I? You know, maybe I should be saying, well, I really, really do feel down in the dumps spiritually because, you know, this really has affected me and I'm feeling lonely and I need a hug. So, you know, we can be like that. But if we know the word of God, if we are a people that confess we know the word of God, then when our brother or sister approaches us in this manner, then we have the medicine. God's given us the medicine. God's given us the words of truth. Well, brother or sister, you know, don't forget that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't forget that God's promised to comfort you and wrap his arms around you and give you a hug. And we tend to forget that sometimes, even in our trouble, and we tend to forget it in giving advice. A lot of people say, oh, well, brother, sister, the Lord's coming back tomorrow. Hallelujah. I think I need some medicine. Give the medicine. Don't be shy in giving people the medicine. Don't be shy in letting people know that I have a problem. I can remember I had a problem, okay? Many, many, many years ago, I wanted to top myself. Now, if you don't know what that means, it means kill yourself. I'd been saved about 6 months. I had a terrible, terrible situation in my marriage because I became a Christian. Okay? There was hate. There was threats of violence. There was all sorts of things going on. There was assaults from religious groups at me, coming to my house, all sorts of things like that. For one reason or other, the marriage was over. And so it had to be dissolved somehow and we had to get rid of things. And there was a problem with the house. If you saw my first wife's interior decorating, you wouldn't be surprised. I still think, oh, that was horrible. But anyway, it wasn't happening and it was pulling me down. Now, not physically, well, physically it was pulling me down, but spiritually it was pulling me down because I couldn't see a solution to the problem. So I thought, well, you know, I was driving along in the company car, and I thought, I'm going to drive into a tree. I'll do it that way. And I looked around, and I thought, and I didn't realise at the time that, God was looking after me. There was no trees. There was some way over there. And I thought, I'd look silly driving across all that lawn, driving into a tree. That'd look ridiculous, you know. So I didn't drive into a tree, but I was still feeling really, really low. And I went off to fellowship and I found some saints and had some fellowship with them and I sort of left that after about an hour. This time I'm supposed to be working. After about an hour and I still felt really low spiritually. And I went off and found some more saints because there were a lot of uni students in those days and they were off school, young. You see that, remembers. And I was popping around. Two or three places I went to over a period of hours and I came away still feeling pretty low spiritually. And I ended up at Pastor Ellen and Sister Elwin's place. And I'm sitting there talking to them and Sister Elwin's talking to me and I'm, you know, telling her, woe is me sort of thing. And she said, Brother Darrell, she said, you know, there's a scripture that says, the Lord hears the cry of the righteous in their time of trouble and delivers them medicine. Okay? The fellowship was great, but I needed medicine. I needed something for my soul. And that's what we all need. Every time we come together, we need something for our souls. We come together to be fed. So what I did, I got in my car and I drove home and I went into the house. And I went into my bedroom because I'd been banned from that bedroom. And I went to my bedroom and I got down on my knees and I said to God, I don't care if my neighbours hear me. I'm just going to cry out to you. You say you hear the cry of the righteous in their time of trouble and you deliver them. And I took my medicine and I started praying. And I don't know how long I went for, but I was loud. Okay. And I stopped praying and I stood up and there was a knock on the door. Okay, I went to the door. It's the real estate agent saying, I've sold your house. Woohoo! You know, we tend to forget the authority and the power and the promise that is through the Word of God for each and every one of us. One of the most impressive talks that I ever heard and has stuck with me, the theme has stuck with me, all my days in the Lord, was when I first got saved, I was told, all you do is pray to God in the Spirit. So I used to pray to God in the Spirit. Didn't do anything else, just prayed to God in the Spirit. Okay? And I read my Bible, but it sort of didn't make a great deal of sense to me at that time until one day a brother gave a talk at a house meeting about taking God's word and giving it back to him. Okay? And in those days I used to write reams of notes and I had foolscap pages of this talk and in the end I just put a big question mark through it and put a question mark there and said, what do I do about this? So what I did, we had a prayer and fast coming up and I wanted to be used in the gifts. And I took God's word during that prayer and fast and I gave it back to him. I said, this is what your word says about it. I'm doing this. I'm praying about this. And your word says about this. You said you'd do this. If I do this, this, you said you'd do that. And I put that to God through the day, his word. I just gave it back to him. The very next day, Pastor Allen says, let's operate the spiritual gifts. Wham! There it was. And that never left me, that talk. It just did something for me. So when things happen in my life, what I go back to is the Word of God. It's the only thing. People ask me how I am. Nobody has said to me, how's your wife? Okay? Because you know why? I'll tell you how my wife is. She's asleep in Christ. She's in a good place. Okay, so, you know, the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I wondered, and I hope you don't mind me talking about this, I wondered when Sheila passed away, where the peace would come from. You know, you hear about people, all sorts of things and whatever. And the peace is in this. She's asleep in Christ. Okay. There are other issues, emotional issues, that God takes care of. But the thing is, God's word says, I will look after you. I will give you the medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And the way you get your heart back into this merry situation, the rejoicing situation, is to look at the promises of God and see who you are. For goodness sake, we are the sons and daughters of the living God. Aren't we? Yes. Yeah, amen. We are something extremely special. Whether we're on our deathbed or whether we've got a problem mentally or physically or whatever, but the Lord says, I don't see that. I see what's in you and I see your heart. And I look at that and I think, that is good. The thing that troubles us sometimes with the inner man is the outer man. And that's the natural mind, which is at enmity with God. It's got no, God doesn't want to know about it, you know. God says, what are you thinking that way for? Don't think that way, think this way. Look at this, believe this, trust in me with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. If you're feeling down in the dumps, talk to somebody about it. You know, there's a scripture that says, if your brother weep with him, sympathise with him, you know. Don't be afraid to show emotion to one another because that helps the inner creature. This person cares about me, praise the Lord. This is my brother. This is my sister. They care about me. And one of the things also that can happen in fellowship, we need to be, that can pull the soul down, is loneliness. You can be, you know, you ever been in a crowd and felt like you're not part of it? It happens, doesn't it? And yet it can pull you down. So we all need to be aware of one another and to care for each other's souls, because that's what Jesus died for. Jesus died that we might have a new life, that we might have a life that is blessed. You know, the Lord didn't come to cause us sorrow. God came through Jesus Christ to give us peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Didn't he? You know. So, you know, we need to make sure that if we do start to go down inwardly, let's look for the medicine, because a broken spirit will dry the bones. And if I'm sure we all know that if our bones dry up, we're dead, aren't we? Because where the bones are, that's where the life comes from in our bodies, isn't it? It's where the cells are produced and everything. That's where the protection comes from, the immune system. It all comes from within the bones. And so if we dry up spiritually, what actually happens is that the bones dry up. The inner creature just dries up and can die. If we keep going, we do not have a terminal illness spiritually, because God is there to heal. God's got the healing power. God's got the medicine that can take it away and heal it completely. Whereas mankind can't do that. They struggle with that all the time. So let's have a look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee where no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, when we get down spiritually, the Bible tells us that we are righteous. Now, it says here, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, you ever fancied yourself as a lion? Okay? You don't mess with Big Daddy, do you? You know, the male lion, he's a big fella. Okay, I always remember watching a show about hyenas and lions, and this hyena pack was troubling the pride of lions, and they're all females and young lions. There was no male there, okay, and this matriarch of the hyena was a female, and she was a brute of a thing, and she used to come with all her mob and trouble the lions and try and, you know, get at the young ones. Well, this went on for a while in the documentary, until Big Daddy turned up. And this lion, this male lion, came charging in and just one swipe just killed the matriarch hyena and sorted the problem out. Okay? We're lions. Now, let's be lions with God's word. All right? Be bold with the word of God in our walk. We have it in our lives, our natural lives, but in our spiritual walk, let's be bold with the word of God in our lives. Let's not be frightened to actually bring the word out and say, God, your word says this. The scriptures tell us that my word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that for which I sent it. So if you give the word back to God, it's going to do something. Okay, be fearless. I remember I read about Moses being fearless, like the children of Israel did something wrong. And God decided to, I'm going to write plague. Plague, God loved plagues when they did it wrong. Plague, okay. So there was plague. And Moses stood up in the breach for Israel and said, will not the Egyptians say that you could not do what you said you would do? How bold is that? Okay. Here I am, God. I've got a problem here. Your word says this, and I believe that you will do what you said you would do. You said you would do this for me. This is what your word says. He exalts it higher than his name. My word is truth. So God, here I am. I've got a problem here inside me. I need your help big time. Come and comfort me. Come and show me. Come and open up my eyes to the wonderful blessings that you have for me today, Lord. Okay, and you know what God said to Moses? God says, because of what you have said, I will not continue with the plague. How good's that? Okay, here it is. It's right in front of us. All right? We've got this wonderful word from God. Okay, so, you know, I often hear, well, I'm not hearing it so much now, but I often hear, you know, about Satan is about like a roaring lion. Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus cried, conquered him. Okay? And you and I are of the same bloodline now. We're of Christ, aren't we? Therefore, we are as lions. This scripture tells us we are more than conquerors. We are the lions. You know, and if anything gets in your way spiritually, you know, you can open up your mouth and roar. You can come along and swipe him. Now, with the word of God, because it's quick and powerful. It's wonderful. It's full of power, this word. It's full of authority. It's full of right. It's your right to use it in your life. It's your right to stand there and say, God, this is what your word says, and I'm not going to move from that word. Okay? Did you know that I found my daughter? After 43 years. Okay? Why? Why did that happen? How was it possible? It's because God said to me nearly 43 years ago, I put into action the things you've asked, and I'd held on to that and believed it. And out of the blue, my son decides he's going to... One of the things I said to God before that happened, I said, I'm 67 years of age, God. I said, I'm going to fall off the perch one of these days. But you promised me that you'd put into action the things I've asked. How about I get to meet my daughter? A couple of weeks later, one of my sons was going through his phone and updating his Facebook Facebook. Okay. And this message popped out that had been there for 2 years. Hi, my name is Natasha. My dad's name is Daryl. He used to work in Dimex, blah, 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 blah. Do you know him? Guess what he did? Whew, shot a message back, and it was on for young and old. It happened. Praise the Lord. Okay? It was just wonderful. But this is holding on to God's promises. If God says something to you, we've got a right to remind God about what he said so that we can be filled up again with joy, that we can rejoice. I met her face to face last October. She just looks like me. Without the moustache. Okay. She looks like me. She, oh, crikey, she looks like me. She said, no wonder I'm short. You know? Okay. But, you know, like it was God just blessed it, you know, I guess my point is this. Whatever God says to you, don't ever let it go. Just remember this, that a day in the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Time's nothing to God. 43 years? It's nothing but a moment. How faithful is God? It's us who need to say, okay, we have time. Don't we? You know, we judge it by that. We look at the moon, we look at the sun, you know, we judge it by that. When's it going to happen, God? God says, hang on a sec. Bang, 43 years later. You know, he's there, he knows, he's looking after us, he wants to bless us, he wants our lives to be right. And he's made it right through the Holy Ghost in us. Proverbs chapter 3. We won't turn there. What's the time? Okay. We'll just quote it. Trust in the Lord all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Proverbs 3, okay? Verse 5. We quote that time and 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 time. I don't know how many times I've heard that over time, but I've heard it a lot of times. I've heard that scripture a lot of times. Sound like Donald Trump, don't I? You know, we hear things. It's given to us, but do we actually hear it? And God wants, you know, if you listen, if you hear my word, it'll be like a medicine to you. The things that I've got for you are there for your soul. The outer man perishes, you know. Yes, there are promises about that. There's things I can do for your outer man. But the thing that really, really, really matters is what's going on inside us. Because that creature is going to live forever. This creature goes to dust. Or if the Lord comes back, he gets changed into something that's fit for the kingdom of God. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I love this scripture too. When I read this, I thought, oh, this is awesome stuff. Okay, we read here. We'll start in verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now this is vital to understand this. Okay? If there's a spiritual problem going on, understand this. The natural man does not understand. And I think we have trouble with that one. Because the natural man says, why? Okay? Why? How come? Why is this happening to me? The spiritual man says, I think I'll read the Word of God. I think I'll go and get help from where the best place is. Here, in the Word. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually understood. Okay? So the natural man can look at something and say, oh, that's a bit hard to wrap my head around. But the spiritual man says, amen. The inner man. That's what needs to be woken up. When we're spiritually in trouble, let that creature be woken up. You have a number of ways to do it. Don't forget your prayer. Okay? The word and prayer, the two go hand in hand. Don't forget it. It's vital that we pray in tongues with the word of God. We worship God in spirit and in truth. The two together build up our faith. One of the translations I've read, and it talks about in Jude, but you, beloved, building up your faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It says, but you, beloved, building up your faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. So our faith comes from where? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So we need to do both. When we need to be built up in faith, we need to get the Word of God out. All right? Don't leave it on the shelf. Open up the Word of God. Lord, show me what I need here. Help me, Lord. Give me something that's going to really, really help me. There's another avenue too that can help your soul if you're in trouble. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, over the last couple of months, I've had a lot of opposition to our doctrine. I really have. You know, and there's been lots of sort of darts thrown at our doctrine and what have you. But one thing I cannot deny is the power that comes out of these gifts. I remember when early in my walk with God, when I was having difficulty in that first marriage, I remember coming to a meeting and I was down in the dumps spiritually. I was absolutely, this is another time, down in the dumps a couple of times, and I'm standing in this meeting and I'm thinking, what's the point? What is the point? Okay? So I was really sort of, the immune system inside me had gone thud, all right? God loves you. Okay, the gifts got operated and this gift came out. It said, let me know, ready for it? You ready? Thy loved ones have deserted you. Now nobody knew, but I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whew, filled up. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, big dose of medicine. Okay, so God knows. I've told you through the word that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm overshadowing you. I know what's going on. It may seem to be desperate. It may seem to be lonely and lost and what have you, but you're not lost. If one of my sheep get lost, I will leave the 99 and I will come and get you. And God came and got me that day. All right? Amazing stuff. You know, how could anybody but God know what was in my heart? But He doesn't want any of us to get lost. Okay? He died that each and every one of us could receive the blessings of God today. And he gave us the Spirit that we can understand this, that we could grasp it. The moment it's spoken, the moment it's read, the moment it's expounded, we can say amen to it in our soul. The outer man doesn't grasp it. The inner man says amen. The creature that needs to be fed. Psalm 119, if you will, a couple more scriptures. I love this script. I love this psalm too. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. And have you ever read it right through? It's absolute magic, isn't it? It's just wonderful. I remember we did a young people's evening one night, and they did this scavenger hunt, and of course, in my sort of humour, I said to them, one of the things I had to do was write Psalm 119. So there they were, scribbling away, you know, and all they had to do was write Psalm 119. Yeah, nasty. But it was fun watching it. Okay, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes. Have you asked God to do that? Have you asked God, in your trial and in your tribulation and your everyday life, to Lord, open my eyes that I just might see the wonderful things that are in your word for me, that I might understand that and grasp hold of the fact that if I do get into strife, there's these wonderful promises here that you're going to look after me. And if I'm not in strife, you're going to look after me anyway. And if my brothers and sisters in strife, what I can do, you tells me what I can do about that, and how it can, how that operates, and how it encourages them and strengthens them, and how God says, if you do that, I'll bless you. There's so much in here for you and for me. It's hidden. It's the glory of the Lord to conceal a matter, but the honour of kings and princes to search it out. There's so much in here that's hidden. There's so much here that can revive our souls when our souls need reviving. Because it does happen. We do get down in the dumps sometimes spiritually. Something will trigger it and off it'll go, but God says, look, come back here to my word. You know, the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower, the righteous run in and are saved, are safe. You know, the name, you go into the names of God. I found 43 names of God beginning with Jehovah. Okay, there's heaps of them. So, you know, it's a strong and mighty tower. So, you know, when Jehovah said, can you? Isn't that a great name? Isn't that a great tower? Aren't you safe when you got onto that one? Okay? Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom. And on and on and on it goes. It goes a lot more. Okay? So search it out. There's these wonderful things in here to encourage us and to bless us and to help us through times of trouble in our lives. You know, let me open my eyes that I might see these wondrous works, these great things that are in here for me, God. They're for you. You can go and get them personally. You can go and get blessed by God. You know, God can knock your socks off with blessings and understandings. You know, have you ever got an understanding and tried to explain it to somebody? It's very difficult sometimes. They go, what? What do you mean? You know, but it's a private revelation and God's given it to you and you're excited about it. I remember Sister Alwyn doing that to me. She's going, oh, Pastor Darrell, I got this. What? But she was excited because, you know, it's just a wonderful thing. Romans 8, verse 38. Here we go. Or 5 minutes. Romans 8. Great book if you want to read it. Read a book. Great book. Romans 8, verse 38. Yep. 38. It says here, and I'm persuaded. Well, no, we'll start in verse 37, shall we? Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded, okay? Now, it's a persuasion thing. You know, what persuades us? The word of God. That neither death, the word tells us, you know, we've got eternal life. That nor life, problems in this life, can be solved by God. Nor angels, spiritual wickedness in high places, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. Height thing is a bit of a, okay. Nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now sometimes we say, you know, my love is not going to separate me from God. It's not saying that. What it's saying here is that God's love, nothing will separate us from that. How good is that? Nothing. It says nothing will separate it from your love of God. So no matter what's happening in your life, there could be an earthquake in your life, but it says that's not going to separate you from the love of God. Nothing is. You know, we think that, oh, no, God doesn't love me. God says here, no, nothing separates you from the love of God. Look at it. It says here, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. You know, our battle is a spiritual wickedness in high places. That's not going to separate you from the love of God. And nothing physical or natural is going to separate you from the love of God. No matter what happens, you can die tomorrow, today. You're going to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. That's not going to separate you from God's love, that physical thing. The fact that you ever have a spiritual problem in your life, that's not going to separate you from the love of God. Nothing. So don't ever think to yourself, God doesn't love me, because the scripture says contrary to that. And if God be true, let every man what? Be a liar. Okay? These are the scriptures that, this is our medicine. This is the stuff that holds us in to the things of God, no matter what's going on. This holds us in. Be still. The battle is not yours. It's God's. You know, when my wife passed away, I went up to my fridge graffiti and I wrote, "The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's." Why did I do that? Because I knew there was going to be a battle over this. There's going to be sort of a lot of stuff going on inside me that is not my fight. It's God's. Okay? And it's the same with you as well. There's the battle that goes on inside you, it's not your fight. It's God's fight. Oh, how am I going to get over this? It's not your fight. It's God's fight. Be still and know that I'm God. Okay? This is what God wants to do for you and for me. Finally, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 3, I think. Yep. Sorry, 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. How gracious. You're special. Don't ever forget it. Okay? That word sons, by the way, means men and women in the Greek. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And it says here, Paul says, we should have the knowledge of this, for we know. He's writing to John, sorry, John's writing to the church saying, look, we should know this. Beloved, now that we are sons of God and it does not yet appear, we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Now, whenever you get doubt in your lives about your salvation, about your relationship with God, where you stand with God, just remember this. When Jesus Christ comes back, you're going to be as he is. Spirit. New creature. Okay? Unrecognizable. That hope is in you. It never leaves you. It's there. Rejoice in the hope that is in you. Rejoice in the Lord. Take your medicine and we'll all meet the Lord in the air. And all the people said, amen. Okay, we'll leave it there.